Well, today we're going to go ahead and begin a new series of lessons that I'm calling Making Membership Meaningful. And what we're going to do is talk about things over the next 10 weeks about how we could have a meaningful relationship with God and how we can have meaningful relationships with each other in the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And we're going to do that by taking one letter a week from the word membership. I did something a few years ago similar, but we only look at the word member. This is a totally different sermon series acronym, okay? But first, we're going to go ahead and talk about membership. And you know, there are some people who don't think that there's such a thing as church membership. But that's not really what the Bible says. You see, when you become a Christian, when you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and are immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, then you're added to the body of Christ, to the church that belongs to Jesus Christ that he purchased with his blood. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians in verse 27, telling them that you're all the body of Christ. It's plural, that you, it's you all, right? Those in the south, it's just you, y'all. Anyway, y'all are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in Romans, also in chapter 12, we read this in verses 4 and 5. It says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's this wonderful illustration about the body. There's a good reason for that comparison, you see. Now, the well-read Bible student will be quick to point out that none of these passages are speaking about individual congregations, but the church as a whole. Good points for you. But the even more well-read Bible student will also know that there were individual congregations of the Lord's church all over the place in the early days of the church. There's the church at Rome, the church at Colossae, the church at Philippi, and so on and so on. And so to be a member of the church is to be a member of the global body of Christ. But each local group of Christians were members of a local body of believers. And each local body had leadership set in place for those congregations. Titus chapter 1 verse 5, for example. That's what Titus was to do. That's what Paul said. Go out there and establish elders at all the different churches. And that means that those shepherds were over the church at their particular congregation, and they were responsible for the body of believers in their care. Not the church across town, but in their care. Meaning that there was a particular membership at each congregation that they were shepherding over. There would have to be, or else that congregation's elders wouldn't know who to take care of. So yes, membership at local congregations did exist when the church began, just like it exists today. And while becoming a member is definitely important, as a matter of fact, it's quite necessary to become a member of the body of Christ, how can you make the most of it? How can we make the most of it? In other words, how can you make membership meaningful in the Lord's church? Well, besides the intrinsic value of membership in the body of Christ, you know, things like forgiveness of sins and salvation and eternal life, all big pluses, definitely. What meaning is there for you and me? You know, do you get my meaning, what I'm trying to say? And that's the title of today's message. And the first letter in our acronym, membership, M. And M stands for meaning today, meaning. If there's one question that it seems that every person who has ever lived has had, is what's the purpose of life? You know, what is my purpose for living? Just what meaning is there to life or to my even living? Do I have any sort of meaning? And if we were honest with ourselves, we would know that most people really do struggle with the basic questions of life, especially whenever you hit certain landmarks. Oh, I'm turning 18. Ah, I'm 18 and I haven't done anything. You know, or you get, same thing happens, seems like every couple of 10 years. Like, oh, I'm 30, I'm not even married yet. Or I'm 50, I don't have a house or a retirement fund. All these sorts of things happen, you know, all these landmarks. You start questioning yourself over and over again. Even at those times in your life, you can start to ask, well, who am I? Who am I really? You know, do I really matter? What's my purpose in life? What's my place in life? These are all questions that everybody has at different times in their life. Well, as a Christian, I believe that the answer to all those questions is found in God, our Creator and loving Father. We find meaning in God. We find meaning in God. And the reason that I believe we find meaning in God is because we are created in God's image for relationship with Him. Genesis 1:27, God made us in his image. And so being in that relationship with God is the only thing that will ultimately satisfy our souls. Snickers won't do it, although they taste good, but they get peanuts get stuck in my teeth. Anyway, Mars bars, there's no peanuts, but I like the peanuts. Okay, so. All right, but see, God can only really satisfy. God can only really ultimately satisfy. Think about it. Until we come to know God, it doesn't matter how many wonderful experiences we've had or how much money we've earned or how many friends or enemies we've made or how many Snickers bars or food you've eaten, okay? It doesn't really matter. They ultimately don't satisfy. Solomon tried all of that and more and realized it was just meaningless. Even though God made us in His image, and God desires for us to be in a blessed relationship with Him, and we could even see that fact as evidence from creation around us, Romans 1:20. Solomon correctly observed in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that He, and that's God, has set eternity in the hearts of men. And while that's true, he continues and says, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You see, it's kind of like there's this hole here that only God can fill in our hearts, but we have a tough time trying to fill that hole with God, so we stuff it with everything else, okay? But we're never really satisfied, because only God can satisfy that which He's created within us. You see, God has created us with this desire for a significant purpose. He has placed within our hearts a desire for something that will last for eternity, not just for a few moments. But it's just not so clearly spelled out. Of course, in the end, Solomon found everything that he chased after to be empty, worthless, void, meaningless. And so he comes to the only possible proper conclusion in chapter 12 and verse 13 that Denver read for us in Ecclesiastes or whatever he said. Anyway, Ecclesiastes is not easy to say, okay? All right, especially if you're 9. But he says this in chapter 12, verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You see, what Solomon discovered is what most of us, I believe, have already figured out. And that is that things or stuff are not worth living for, and that's because they simply don't last and they don't truly satisfy. And that includes everything from prestige or ambition or things like pleasure. Just think about how many people have tragically traded their lives or souls for a brief moment of pleasure. Or those who have continuously keep going for more and more pleasure, for better and better. Well, that felt good. How about something bigger? How about something bigger? And it could be anything from food to roller coasters to, I don't know, electronics. I got to have the biggest, latest, greatest phone, you know. Of course, tomorrow it's outdated already. Actually, today it is. Or drugs. That's how that stuff works with addiction. It can be addiction to anything. You know, that was good, but I want something bigger and better, you know, more powerful. But for those of us who know God, we have found real meaning. And it's got nothing to do with possessions, prestige, or pleasure. But it's got everything to do with our relationship with God. Just look at how God describes our purpose for us in Ephesians 2:10. He says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, in this verse alone, we learn some amazing things about our meaning. Here we learn that we are, first of all, God's workmanship. And we all know that God doesn't make any junk, right? God makes things very good. He is the creator. He's the guy that made it all. And so we are God's workmanship. We also learn why God created us. It says to do good works. In other words, to really make a difference now and eternity. All right, for God and by God. We also learned that it was God who decided all this about us, including our purpose, very early on, well in advance of us, before we were even born. You know? You see, none of us, therefore, are created without planning and purpose by God. We're not a mistake or a last-minute throw-something-together people. God has made us on purpose and with a purpose for a purpose, and that's great news. And so, again, we find meaning in God. We also find meaning in worshiping God. We find meaning in worshiping God. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that God is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers, Jesus said, that the fathers seek. And if God has made us and he is seeking worshipers, then guess what? We find meaning in worshiping God because that's what he's made us to do. That's what he wants us to do. You know, back over Romans chapter 12 again from earlier, this time in verse 1, we read, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And here we clearly see that worship is more than a one-time event. It's also a way of life. Think about it. God has created us so that we would seek him, find him, and then worship him, but not then tuck him away, but to keep that perspective all through our lives. Again, we find meaning in worshiping God. We also find meaning in being in the body of Christ. We find meaning in being in the body of Christ. Earlier, I mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. And really, the whole passage in 1 Corinthians 12, starting about verse 12 through 27, is really awesome. And if I could, I could probably read that every single Sunday, but it would get boring. But anyways, so let me just say that Paul uses the illustration of the church as a body. Now, every part's important. Now, even those parts that don't seem important are important, and every part has a use. And you can't have a body just made up of eyes or arms or whatever. That would just, it wouldn't work. Okay. Remembering that, again, when we become a Christian, God adds us to the family of God, to his church, to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, as the body of Christ, we must therefore have a commitment to the well-being of the whole body. It's kind of like, let's say, maybe tragically you, or something, you need some sort of a transplant, right? And you get this new part of your body added. They've got to work together, or else you call that, you know, rejection, right? So the part that comes in, the part that's here, we need to work together for the whole of the body. And if you think about it, and those of us know about this, of course, it might be struggling with some sort of maybe pain in our back or foot or ankle or who knows what, the rest of your body compensates. And sometimes not necessarily for the good, but you see, that's your body looking out for itself. I got to take it easy on this side, so I'm going to walk more on this side or something to that effect, you know? All right, so the body takes care of itself. You're committed to the whole well-being of the body when you're a part of the body. All the parts of the body are connected. You know, that's for life, because you need life in the body. Apart from the body, there is no life. By definition, you chop off a part of your body, it's not going to live without the rest of it. Okay? So in that regard, we should be concerned for one another. Just think about when you stub your toe. I don't care which one it is. It hurts. You know, it's like you're going to die. I stubbed my pinky toe, and you think, good night, I hardly ever think about my pinky toe. You are now because I'm talking about it, though, right? but you never think about it. But you see, in the Lord's church, we've got pinky toes. But they're important. And we can't forget them, especially when they hurt. Okay? Because we're all important. Because God says we're all important, and we all are. Okay? No part is unimportant. Every part is needed and should be valued. We all have value. All have meaning. There's no such thing as a meaningless Christian in the body of Christ. Again, we find meaning in being in the body of Christ. We also find meaning in growing in Christ. We find meaning in growing in Christ. There's a point in our Christian walk when we have learned all of the fundamentals that we really need. And it's time to really move on to the next stage of our faith development. Not saying those fundamentals aren't important. They are. They're the basis of everything else, and we don't forget them. Okay? Hebrews 6:1. But you need to move on to maturity. You see, God wants us to learn and to grow. Just think about Jesus. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He grew. Okay? Jesus perfectly reflects the character of his Father in heaven. And while none of us are perfect as Christians, just forgiven, our purpose should be to reflect Jesus' perfect character in our own lives to those around us. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes growth. Just how do we do that? Well, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 5, that we're to make every effort. You see, it's a conscious effort. It just doesn't happen. You don't get zapped with this, you know. You have to make every effort to add to your faith, to that foundational, fundamental thing, things like goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. Keep adding to those things. Add more goodness, more knowledge. You can never not know enough. You can never, yeah, that's it, I guess. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. You know, he says, for if you possess these things, these qualities in increasing measure, you don't stop after saying, yeah, well, I've done something good, I'm good now. All right. Increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I know that guy Jesus. I don't need to read the Gospels anymore. No. You got to go back and read them. You got to learn about Jesus. Know more. Know him as intimately as possible. If we're to be Christians and be like Christ, we need to know a whole lot about Christ. You can never stop learning about Jesus. The idea is that because God has purposed that we grow in Christ, then we should be giving considerable effort to cooperate with what God wants us to do. And so we take every advantage of growth opportunities and spiritual disciplines. And that includes assembling together with the body of Christ whenever we meet. Again, we find our meaning in growing in Christ. We also find meaning in fulfilling God's mission. We find meaning in fulfilling God's mission. There should be no one in the church who says they've got nothing to do. I've got something for you to do. God's got something for you to do, okay? Well, why is that again? Because, you know, you could at least be talking to people about Jesus. And that is exactly what God's mission is for us to do. You say, well, that's not enough. That's a lot to do. Try it. It's not always as easy as you think. Maybe that's the problem. You think it's hard. But again, it's not always that hard. Just need to start. Again, our go-to verse is Matthew 28:19-20, where Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if you've ever heard anyone quote that passage and say, see, everybody's got to be a gospel preacher, they're absolutely wrong. Remember what we've been talking about over the past few weeks about conversion being a process. Well, there are many different people who are doing many different things, but they are all involved in making disciples of all nations as Christians. Every Christian contributes in some way to help the lost come to Christ. And so they don't need to be a preacher, just a Christian. Think about it, as a Christian, you can fulfill God's mission for you through prayer or visiting someone, sick or not, by writing them a note, making them a call, a phone call, sending an email or whatever you want to do, a tweet, a text, an Instagram message, whatever it is. Just no Snapchat, it's terrible, never mind. Anyway, maybe it's giving to someone who's really in need, or maybe it's just giving somebody something to eat or drink, or just sitting down and having, you know, a little talk with each other. Because listening is something that's a very hard skill to really attain, okay? Just listening to someone share their problems. Not that you need an answer, but in doing that, you're showing the love of Christ. You're helping them to get to know Jesus more, because God is the greatest listener in the universe. So you see, there's so many ways for everyone in the body of Christ to contribute to fulfilling God's mission for the whole body. You see, each of us are as uniquely gifted and called to accomplish God's mission. We all have a different sort of purpose in the body. We're not all hands, we're not all feet, we're not all noses or other parts of the body, you know? It's just that my service, for example, is not gonna end up looking exactly like your service, and vice versa. None of us will. But you see, that's the important great thing about the body of Christ. You know, is we all play a part within the body to fulfill God's mission. And in doing our part, again, we find meaning as we fulfill that part. Again, as Christians in the body of Christ, we find meaning in God. We find meaning in worshiping God and in being in the body of Christ and by growing in Christ. And we find meaning in fulfilling God's mission. Now, here's the thing. We all have value. We all have purpose. We all have meaning. It's just that sometimes we don't think we do. And that might be because we're really not in touch with who and what God says we are. With that in mind, let me wrap up with a few thoughts from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 20. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. There the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy saying, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Just looking back up to verses 20 and 21, and take a look up at the screen here. Up there are two household items. Remember, Paul said, in a large house, there are articles, right? Well, we got two articles up there. A toilet and a teacup. They're both white, and both are made of porcelain, but their purposes couldn't be any more opposite on the noble and ignoble spectrum. Although some people sometimes think that one is noble, being a throne, but you know. Starting in verse 21, we see a promise and a challenge that if we clean up our act and dedicate ourselves to the Lord, then we will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good. It sounds great to me, because that's meaning. That gives me meaning. That gives me purpose. And that's the kind of purpose that we all really have in this world. We can be set apart as an instrument for noble purposes and made holy and useful and prepared to do any good work. But before God can use us in that way, we have to do our part and cleanse ourselves to walk faithfully with our God. Of course, we're talking about being Christian, not becoming one here, right? But that's because, first of all, you do have to become a Christian, a child of God. And it's a wonderful thing to be a child of God, because as a child of God, we find out that we really can know our meaning. And we can know where we came from and who we are and why we're here and even where we're going. And in knowing our meaning, we can discover that we have the privilege of knowing God and partnering with Him in His eternal purposes. And that's an amazing thing to discover. Today, if there's anyone here who really needs to know their meaning, but maybe they haven't discovered it yet, well, I'd like to let you know that we can help you to discover the answer that's found in Jesus, in His body and His church. And you can become a part of His body by realizing that, hey, you know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which is why God gave us Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have the forgiveness of sins and be able to be reconciled with God, to have that relationship that we were meant to have from the beginning and become a part of His body, the church, and have meaning in our lives through membership in His body. And in order to become a part of the body of Christ, Scripture says that all you need to do is confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, repent of your sins, and then be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, Scripture says you'll receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit and be saved. And so for those of us who are already Christians here today, well, the encouragement is to be confident in the meaning that God has already given us all in the church and to help others to find a meaningful membership in Jesus. Again, if there's anyone who needs to come forward this morning, maybe to be baptized into Christ or for maybe a prayer request or some other need that we might be able to help out with, you're always encouraged to come forward as we stand and sing.